church is in Africa at the service of reconciliation, peace and justice.
The church is in Africa at the service of reconciliation, peace and justice.
This is the Africa service of Vatican Radio.
Welcome to our half-hour daily program for Africa.
In this edition today, our bulletin of church news to be followed by panorama and our feature of development and the economy. Today we shall close with a gospel reflection by Father Enobong Udaidiong. My name is Kanyanta Godfrey Kampamba. Pope Francis on Friday morning received in audience the President of Georgia, Salome Zurabiashvili, who subsequently met with the Secretary for Relations with States, Archbishop Paul Richard Gallagher. A communique following the meeting said the two sides had cordial discussions regarding the good relations that exist between the Holy See and Georgia. Special reference was also made to the joint collaboration in the fields of culture, science and education and the contribution of the Catholic Church in the country. They also focused on themes of regional and international nature, with special attention to humanitarian questions, highlighting the importance of the promotion of justice and social harmony. Pope Francis on Friday exhorted the faithful to always be conscious of the fact that we are all made in the image and likeness of God. Underlying all our strengths and weaknesses, stronger than all our past hurts and failures, all our fears and concerns about the future, there is this great truth. We are beloved sons and daughters, said the Pope in his Twitter message on Friday. The Vatican on Thursday published a video message of Pope Francis on the occasion of the 109th meeting of the International Labour Organization. The work summit in Geneva is the first to take place virtually due to restrictions occasioned by the COVID-19 pandemic. In the video message, the Holy Father spoke of the persistent crisis, urging that we should continue to exercise a special care for the common good. Linda Bodoni has this report.
Addressing the meeting that marks 109 years since the founding of the ILO, the UN agency whose mandate it is to advance social and economic justice through safeguarding international labour standards, Pope Francis emphasised the need to exercise special care at a time in which there has been an unprecedented loss of employment all over the world, with the consequent increase of exploitation of workers and of the hidden economy. As we look for solutions to return to a greater post-pandemic economic activity, he warned against all forms of discrimination, including consumerism and nationalisms, and said we are all called to prioritise our response to workers on the margins of the labour market who are still affected by the pandemic. Amongst these, he said, are migrants who are prime victims of a philosophy of exclusion that we have become accustomed to in our societies. Migrants, in fact, along with other vulnerable workers, are often excluded from access to national welfare, as well as financial protection plans and psychosocial services. The most vulnerable should not be negatively affected by measures to accelerate a recovery, he said, that is focused solely on economic indicators. That's why, he added, we also need a reform of our economic system as we seek to reshape our future and build a better world.
Todos somos frágiles.
The time has come, the Pope said, to eliminate inequalities, to cure the injustice that is undermining the health of the entire human family. This, he explained, must be done also through legal norms that regulate employment growth, decent work, and the rights and duties of the human person. This is something, he stressed, that includes protection for workers in the informal or hidden economy and special attention to the particular needs of women and girls.
De las mujeres y de las niñas.
Pope Francis spoke of the need to continue to ensure the protection of workers through the respect of their fundamental rights, including, he said, the right to organize in unions. I'm Linda Bodoni.
The 2021 United Nations Climate Change Conference, also known as COP26, is the 26th United Nations Climate Change Conference. It is scheduled to be held in the city of Glasgow from 1st to 12th November 2021 under the presidency of the United Kingdom. The Holy See Press Office held a press conference on Thursday to present the Faith and Science Towards COP26 meeting, which will take place on October 4th. The event is organized by the embassies of the United Kingdom and Italy to the Holy See and will see numerous faith leaders and scientists address the theme of climate change and the need for a coordinated effort to protect creation. Sally Axworthy is the British ambassador to the Holy See and was present at the press conference at the Holy See Press Office on Thursday. Speaking to Vatican Radio, Axworthy said that the British government hopes the COP26 will bring all nations together to confront the issue of climate change, which disproportionately affects least developed nations and indigenous peoples, making it a moral issue.
We think faith leaders have an important part to play in, you know, raising the ambition of governments, but also in leading the way and showing the kinds of changes that we all need to make in order to tackle climate change. And so we've been working with these faith leaders since the beginning of the year in virtual meetings to prepare this event in October. And we hope at that event they will really call for greater ambition at COP26 itself.
So when you say faith leaders, I imagine you are speaking of an ecumenical forum.
Well, it's not ecumenical, it's also interreligious. So, the major faiths have been invited. Obviously, we had to limit numbers because of the pandemic, but we've tried to have representatives from all world religions and all geographies as well, so people from all over the world.
I also imagine that Laudato Si will play a part in the program as guidelines, as a blueprint.
Well, in a way, the whole thing was inspired by Laudato Si, because we saw what an important role that encyclical played in 2015 before the Paris COP, and how it really, you know, helped create the atmosphere in which the Paris Agreement could be made. So we're very much inspired by Laudato Si and by the other faith declarations that were made in 2015, and wanting to bring religious leaders together to do something similar, but this time all together. Obviously, we're very grateful to the Holy See for working with us on this, and we think that together with the Italian Embassy and the Holy See, we can make our contribution to COP26, which is important because we all need to work on this agenda.
British Ambassador to the Holy See, Sally Axworthy. You are tuned to the Daily Africa Service of Vatican Radio.
African News Panorama.
African heads of state have paid tributes to former Zambian President Kenneth Kaunda, who died on Thursday at the age of 97. Mr. Kaunda was the first president of Zambia. During his presidency between 1964 and 1991, he played a key role in fighting the apartheid system in South Africa by sustaining the African National Congress, which he allowed to open its headquarters in Lusaka. The president of Botswana, Mokgweetsi Masisi, described Mr. Kaunda in his tribute as an iconic statesman of the highest credentials for his selfless dedication to the interests of his own country, as well as the well-being of neighbors and humankind at large. Tanzania's President Samia Suluhu Hassan said on Friday that Kaunda was a liberation fighter, patriot, and a true Pan-Africanist. The World Health Organization, the WHO, has warned that some African countries are now experiencing a fully-blown third COVID-19 wave. These include Uganda, Namibia, South Africa, Morocco, Tunisia, Ethiopia, and Egypt. WHO said on Friday that the numbers of infections and deaths from COVID-19 in these countries have risen to unexpected levels. Reports from Uganda, for example, say 30 COVID-19 patients died at Mulago National Referral Hospital on Thursday due to lack of oxygen. WHO has appealed to vaccine manufacturers to donate millions of COVID-19 vaccines to African countries so that they can save the lives of their citizens. Malawi's former ruling Democratic Progressive Party, which is now in opposition after losing the elections in June last year, has filed a case at the High Court seeking the nullification of the elections, on grounds that it was presided over by an electoral commission that was illegally constituted.
This is Development and Economy, and you are welcome to the program. My name is Kanyanta Godfrey Kampamba. The COVID-19 pandemic appears to be ebbing in some parts of the world. This fact has prompted nations and communities worldwide to strive to relaunch their shattered economies. These efforts have been through investment, innovation, growth, and hopefully sustainability. This development calls on the church to help make sure that the post-COVID-19 economic recovery is based on ethical investments that protect the poor and the environment from exploitation and neglect. This is according to the Bishop of the Japanese Diocese of Niigata, Paul Daisuke Narui, who is also a member of the Society of the Divine Word. Bishop Daisuke explains that Catholic economists are warning against investments that may appear fruitful but that are based on unethical practices and exploitation of persons and the environment. When Pope Francis appointed Divine Word Bishop Daisuke Narui to head the Niigata Diocese last year, most commentators said that the appointment was the Pope's appreciation of Daisuke Narui's great service to the church in Japan. As a priest, Daisuke led the Japanese church's relief work following the devastating earthquake and tsunami a decade ago. He is especially known for his work in peace, justice, and the integrity of creation, as well as for his advocacy on behalf of migrants. Members of the Society of the Divine Word are popularly called Verbites or the Divine Word Missionaries, and they are sometimes also referred to as the Steyler Missionaries. Since 2018, the bishop has been part of the Council on Ethics, an advisory body for Steyler Bank in Germany. This is an ethical ecological bank and a Christian finance of the Steyler Missionaire that creates funds from an ethical point of view. Steyler Bank, which some refer to as SVD Bank, is the only bank founded by and belonging to a religious congregation in the Catholic Church. Talking to Vatican Radio's Gudrun Saylor in a special interview, Daisuke explains how his role as an expert in ethical investment fits in with the vow of poverty he has taken as a religious.
I believe vow of poverty has some perspectives in the religious life and mission. Basically, it is to offer and share everything for God. To do so, we join the poverty of Jesus. That is the main issue, I believe. Jesus made himself poor and loved the poor. We follow this example. Therefore, our investment, or even to receive donations, we must consider that money and goods need to be used in solidarity with the poor. If we help the poor and at the same time we destroy the environment and the lives of poor people through investment or receiving donation from the companies that destroy environment, our work becomes meaningless.
That's basically what Pope Francis writes in his encyclical Laudato Si. Now, in concrete terms, Father Daisuke, you've been a member of the Ethics Investment Council of Steyler Bank in Germany since 2018. What must an investment take into account to be ethical?
Yes, I was a member of the Council of Ethics of the Steyler Bank, which is the SVD Bank in Germany. My role in this council was to bring the local voice, the voice of the SVD religious missionaries in 80 countries, to bring the real information of the ethical performance of multinational companies. The Steyler Bank listened to such voice, utilized the information to make their investment more ethical. As for your question, basically, there are two ways to make the investment ethical. The first way is the prevention of injustice, human rights violation, and environmental destruction through investment. To do this, we avoid investing to unethical business, such as environmental degradation, abortion, embryonic research, military industry, or the way they work, such as labor rights violation. The second way is to promote ethical business, the products and the services which provide environmental benefits and care for people, like renewable energy, equal employment opportunity, a contribution for the local community, corporate social responsibility, etc. So it is important to check the portfolio of the investment products if the investment really go to the ethical business or not.
In this very moment, the whole world is concerned about economic recovery after the collapse of the corona pandemic. Some say that the situation must be restored as quickly as possible in order to avoid more poverty. Others say that this is the chance really to start a new form of economics. What criteria should be used as a guide from a Catholic perspective?
As Pope Francis says, the poor, the most vulnerable people, should not be left behind. There are so many people lost their job, and many of them, like migrants, have no access for social security. The local church should be attentive to such people and should collaborate with the local government offices to make available the social security for them. To do so, we have to consider human rights as a criteria, the human rights of the most vulnerable people must be respected in such time.
Just economic activity has always been a concern of Catholic social teaching, but the issue has never been so present as it is right now under Pope Francis, the first pope from an emerging country. Is this because of the time we are living in, or because of this pope?
Well, it is quite a difficult question, but I personally think it is both. Obviously, economic injustice to the human society and the creation is a sign of times now, and Pope Francis has been guiding and animating the world to tackle. Through my work, I have visited around 50 countries, and I always feel that the way of life and the messages of Pope Francis are very appealing to people, well accepted by the people, and his message really motivate people to react to the challenges they are facing. I saw many parishes in different continents working on environmental issues, which review their way of economic life as a part of the environmental conversion.
You served as secretary for Caritas Japan for about 10 years, and in that capacity, you've been responsible for the distribution of relief goods after the earthquake plus the tsunami of 2011 in Japan. What did that time teach you about the question of justice?
From that relief experience, it became so clear to me that the people who were poor and vulnerable before the disaster become poorer and more vulnerable after the disaster, more than the ordinary people. They are the ones who suffer most. The public help goes to the bigger group first and not the small communities, such as the communities in remote and small islands. Catholic Church must be sensitive to such gap and accompany the most vulnerable people. Another important learning was that the local government and the bigger relief organizations are really good in distributing relief materials and other specific activities such as healthcare.
Paul Daisuke Narui, Divine Word Missionary Priest and Bishop of the Japanese Diocese of Niigata, talking to Vatican Radio's Gudrun Sailor about how the church must help make sure post-COVID-19 economic recovery is based on ethical investments that protect the poor and the environment from exploitation and neglect. And that is all we have time for in this edition of Development and the Economy. Until next week at the same time, my name is Kanyanta Godfrey Kampamba.
Coming up next, a reflection on this Sunday's readings, prepared and presented by Father Enobong Udaidiong.
How is the situation of things around you? How are you coping with the reality of the storms of life which come in different forms, like lack of job, lack of good health, the loss of a close relative or friend, problems in marriage, personality crisis, and many others? Do you feel that it is time to give up hope? The Word of God this 12th Sunday is addressing your concerns. God is aware of all that we are facing, just as he was aware of what Job was passing through and also the storm his disciples were battling with at sea. In the first reading taken from the book of Job, chapter 38, God responded to the complaints of Job by telling him that he, God, is the Lord of all creation. He created the world and everything therein, and he sets the laws that governs all things. Everything that exists in the world obeys the laws of God. The seas, the air, the storms, the seasons, and the animals. In the Gospel reading taken from the Gospel of Mark chapter 4, Jesus demonstrated this very reality by speaking to the stormy sea, "Peace, be still," and the sea obeyed him. Jesus in this Gospel account confirms all what the Scripture says about him in the Gospel of John, when he said, "Everything was created by him, and nothing was created without him." It is also worthy to know that he holds all things in being. The events of life do not take God by chance. He's all-knowing, omnipresent, and omnipotent. Therefore, it will be wrong for us to think that he does not care about us. I was once asked by a sad and devastated mother of a young boy who died in an accident, "Father, where was God that he allowed my son to die?" The reading from the book of Job came to my mind. God has never stopped existing. He's always in the boat with us, as he was with the disciples when we are facing the storms of life, not just to accompany us, but to save us. Some of us may ask, was Jesus not feeling the turbulence and the cries of the disciples in the boat? I believe he did. I also believe that he knows what we are passing through daily in our lives. Going through the Gospel reading, we realized that the disciples did not really know who Jesus was as at the time. When they decided to take their worries to him then, he did not hesitate to act immediately. He rebuked the wind, and the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Many of us Christians are still struggling with knowing who Jesus is. If we know who he is, and if we have him in the boat of our lives, we will never be afraid. We will have faith in him. One thing we should know is that turbulence and storms of life will always come. But we should also remember his words when he said, "Let not your hearts be troubled, believe in God and also believe in me." These words come from the one who cares for his beloved. Therefore, by living in Christ, there is an assurance that wherever and whenever we encounter storms and difficult situations in life, he will always be there when we call upon him. We long to see situations of life change for good. We long to see pains and sufferings reduced in our society to the barest minimum. Yes, we pray for miracles. We want to see God manifest His greatness as He did for the apostles. Let us take this thought and longing further. How about every Christian becoming the source of miracles in our society? How about every one of us allowing the love of Christ to urge us in everything we do? We must get this right. God cares about our well-being and will not allow us face things beyond us. Many of the things we are suffering in life are not God-made, but man-made. And so one way or the other, as Christians, we can contribute positively to make life meaningful. We can help lessen the pains and sufferings of people if we act motivated by love of God and love of our neighbor. May the message of Christ in all its richness continue to find a home in our hearts. Through the same Christ, our Lord. Amen. Peace be with you.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus.
This is the Africa Service of Vatican Radio, and I am Kanyanta Godfrey Kampamba. Praised be Jesus Christ. Laudetur Jesus Christus.